Hey, Bridge City Church, White Oak Campus. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak Campus of Bridge City Church. And I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here worshiping God and praising His name. There's no place I'd rather be than here with you all doing that exact same thing that I just mentioned. I say it every Sunday, and I'll continue to say it. Listen, we're going to continue our series entitled Sunday School, and this is an important series, and I'm going to explain to you why in just a second, but as you walked in, you should have received your snack. Everybody hold your snack up. Did you get your s'mores? All right, hold them up for me and shake them. Shake them a little bit. I like the cellophane. It makes a little bit better noise than it did last week. Keep them, hold them up. Hold them up. Still hold them up. Now, be honest. Did anybody eat your snack already? Be honest, you're in church, don't tell a lie. Nobody ate it? All right, listen, if you follow the rules that I'm about to go through, we get to have snack time. We're going to go through the rules of Sunday school. They're going to pop up behind me on the screen. Here they are. Number one, be a good listener. Be a good listener. Try hard. Okay? Number two, follow directions. You already followed that rule. You held up your snack. You shook it. You're a good direction follower so far. Number three, raise your hand to speak. Does anybody have a question? Jeremy, what's your question, sir? Okay. I'm better than I deserve, sir. There we go. The first part of your thing there was a statement, which I'll allow it. The second part, you ended strong with a question. But I'm better than I deserve. Number four, be kind to others. We follow that. We'll have snack time. Number five, do your best. Do your best, and we'll have snack time. We all cool with that? And I will let you in on a little secret. One lucky person is going to get their s'more actually s'mored. I'm not going to pass this lighter around because I know what happens during our candlelight worship experience, and none of you can be trusted with flames because for months and months and months afterwards, we are cleaning up wax off of the floor. All right, listen, why are we doing Sunday school? Why are the kids having the same exact message that you're having down here? Because not all of us went through Sunday school. Not all of us had the honor and privilege of getting to hear some amazing biblical truths as children. Not all of us got to grow up with that. We're going to talk about three individuals today that went through an amazing trial in their life. The fiery furnace, if you will. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, I want to tell you something. They got challenged by a guy named King Nebuchadnezzar. When I was a kid, I didn't grow up with Sunday school. I didn't grow up hearing about these amazing biblical stories. The only time I heard about a fiery furnace is when my dad got home from work and he talked about how hot the blast furnace was in that. Okay? 35 years in the mill. Homestead and then Edgar Thompson. That's the only time I heard about the fiery furnace. I didn't know anything about a King Nebuchadnezzar. I knew about a Nebuchadnezzar. I didn't know nothing about a Nebuchadnezzar. I didn't hear about this until I was 20 years old. Rachel had to teach me how to pronounce these names. We have a memory verse. We want you to go home with this verse today. And I don't care if you've been in church your whole life, I believe that you can leave with something today. I don't care if this is the first time you've walked into this type of church setting. You can leave with something today. But this verse, no matter if it's the first time you've heard it or the thousandth time you've heard it, I want this verse to not just be in your head and be memorized. I want it to travel the 18 inches and go to your heart. I want it to speak to you. And it may not speak to you the first three times we read it, or when you take a picture of it, but when you walk out of this place today, this verse is going to mean something. And here we go. We're going to read it together. Now, I want to already preface this. There's a comma in this verse. Comma means what? Pause. All right, here we go. I'm going to start it off. And we're all going to read together. We're going to do it three times. Here we go. Even if we are thrown into the blazing furnace. Oh, there's a comma. There's a comma. What do commas do? Here we go. The God whom we serve is able to save us. Let's start it again. Even if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. Somebody else is going to start it. Here we go. She's going to hate me, but we just celebrated 12 years of marriage yesterday, our anniversary. Rachel's going to start it. Loud and proud, Rachel. This is who you marry. Start it off. Even. All she said was even. That's all she said. And then she looked at me the whole time with 12 years. 12 years. 12 years ago, we got married. She loves me more today than she did 12 years ago. Except for that moment where I made her shout out even in front of everybody. What's today's message about? It's all about us having integrity no matter what. Integrity in our faith when it's tested. Listen, it's easy to have integrity when everything's going well. It's easy to have integrity when you're not being challenged, when you're not being tested. It's easy to have integrity when everybody's around. Today's message is all about us not compromising in our faith no matter what and making that decision on the front end. Not when we're in it, but knowing how we're going to respond beforehand. I'm going to do this no matter what. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them. Integrity, the condition of being without blemish. Completeness, perfection, sincerity, soundness, brightness, wholeness. Listen, integrity is not who you are just when there's a bunch of people around. Reputation and character are not the same thing. Your reputation is merely who people think you are. Your character is who you truly are. Too often we protect our reputation and we could care less about our character. John Wooden, one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time, wrote some amazing books. As a matter of fact, there's a book of just his quotes. Coached the UCLA Bruins, his quote about character and reputation. I'm not even going to share it with you. I want you to look it up because I hope you see the wealth of knowledge out of the quotes that he shared with many, many young men that he coached. And it was all about integrity, reputation, and character. Our integrity is a gift from God. In the New Testament, it means honesty and adherence to a pattern of good works. Doing what we ought to, even if it costs you. And you have to determine on the front end, what are you willing to pay? What's it worth to you? What is your integrity and the honor that you carry worth to you? Lennon's 4 years old. Think about your children. How old are your kids? Think about your future kids. What are you going to teach them? I love what Pastor Gary, our campus pastor of our Brighton Heights campus, would tell his kids when they leave the house. He would say, "Return home with honor." That's an amazing statement. Return home with honor. You're leaving with it. Make sure you come home with it. It's an amazing statement. Listen, the best compliment that anyone can pay you is that you're the same person at work, that you are at home, you're the same person at church, that you are by yourself, you're the same person everywhere. One of the things that I love whenever people start in new relationships, I'm going to see if that man's the same person around that girl, and I'm going to see if that girl's the same person around that man. And if they're not, I call them out on it. Hey, stop pretending to be somebody you're not. Be who you are. That girl's going to find out eventually that you're faking it. If you can't be the same person, we got a problem. Church, the big idea of our message today is that Christians can live with integrity, standing firm in these three ways. Take a picture, write it down, get your doodle sheet that you got when you walked in. You can stand firm in who you are in Christ. Your identity is tied to your integrity. If you don't know who you are and whose you are, how can you possibly have honor and integrity? Lennon's going to know the family that he's a part of and who he belongs to. And he's not just honoring his natural father everywhere he goes, but he's going to honor his spiritual father too. And listen, Lenin's dad here on earth is Nicholas Joseph Stepanovic. But his father in heaven, he needs to honor him more. Stand firm in the trials of fire. Sorry, let me say that again. Stand firm in the trials of fire. You guys didn't understand it the first time, some of you. It's going to happen. There's going to be things in your life that are going to test you and who God is. How do I know this? I'm in it. My wife and I are in it. Stand firm, believing for a greater reward. Everything that God promised you is not going to be here on earth. You get to spend some of the change he's put in your pocket here. But there's more. There's way, way more. And that's what you're living for. Before we turn to our main text in Daniel 3, I want to set it up for you a little bit. We're talking about three men today. And a fourth, you know, that King Nebuchadnezzar. These three men, young men, were God's people, Israelites. They were taken captive to Babylon, 500 miles away from where they lived. They were taken, they were stolen, they were kidnapped. Taken to a world of confusion. The people that took them, they took the brightest, the best, and retrained them to the world's ways. These young men were between 14 and 16 years old, and they endured so much. They were renamed. They were brainwashed. They were educated according to the culture they were taken and put into. Their languages were changed, their literature, their religion, the idolatry, the demonology that they were forced into of Babylon. They were taken and expected to serve a new king. They were taken away from everything that they knew. Their homes were destroyed. And you may be thinking, oh, that'll never happen to me. That'll never happen to my kids. It's happening every day. Your 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, you gladly send them away. It's called college. You think your kids aren't being indoctrinated and trained and shifted into a new culture? It's called freshman orientation at most schools. This is what you believe now. This is how you do things. This is what we do. Here's how you're going to talk. Here's how you're going to dress. This is when we do this. Now, I'm not saying college is bad. In no way, shape, or form am I saying that. But I'm saying that there are things that are indoctrinating us every single day. Our culture does it. Let me give you an example. Adults, everything in your pocket, you carry it in your pocket. It's changing you. Perfect example. I have an amazing mountain bike. I love it. I pulled it out of my shed the other day in faith that I'm going to be riding this thing again soon. Pulled Rachel's out of the shed too. Cleaned them up, shined them up, made sure I didn't mess up the hub on my tire like I did the last time I cleaned it. My phone, ever since then, mountain bikes, tires, brakes, new hubs, handlebars. I didn't do anything. My brother-in-law bought a new bike. My phone just heard me talking about it. I'm not saying that's bad, but it's trying to change everything that I'm focused on. You may not be talking about mountain bikes. See what I'm saying? Your phone, that algorithm, people way smarter than you and me are figuring you out, trying to brainwash you, indoctrinate you, change your idols, the little gods you worship. This is common practice in our world even today. We live in a magnificent country, but we let the lavishness of it all distract us from the things of God. Do we? Yep. I'm sure these young men were tempted to abandon their roots for the lavishness and the opportunities that Babylon offered. But they didn't. Let's pick up our story in Daniel 3, verses 1 and 3. This is an example of them standing firm for who they were in Christ. Here we go. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dor in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messages to the high officers, the officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, and magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. So all these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Hey, everybody, look at me. Look at what I've done." He was testing their allegiance, making them look at this image, this little god that he had made. Why did he make this statue? Why did he do this? Because he wanted to draw people to him. He was jealous of Daniel and these three boys. He was jealous in the fact that God had given Daniel the answer to a vision that the king had had earlier in chapter 2. He wanted to kill Daniel. Remember, the advisors wanted to kill Daniel. We saw last week that the only thing that these advisors could do was attack the religious beliefs of Daniel and these men. What's the point for us? Listen, the world hates anything that you do or that anyone does that follows God or points to Him or glorifies Him. It's nothing new. It's been going on forever. Why do we pretend to be shocked? Verse 4 and 5, then a herald shouted, "People of all races, nations, and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all the other musical instruments, bow to the ground and worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue." Verses 6 and 7, anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. That sounds fun. Sounds like a rough day. Anyone, no questions asked, you're getting thrown in. So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bowed down to the ground and worshiped the gold statue the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verses 8, 9, and 10. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed them of the Jews. Let me reread that. But some of the snitches who should end up in ditches or possibly get stitches went to the king and informed on the Jews, snitched on the Jews. They said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments. They were so prepared to go snitch. Why did they have to go through all the instruments again? Why couldn't they just say, like, listen, whenever they heard the musical instruments, they're like, no, king, when you said... And they went through all the instruments again. Why couldn't they just say when the music started playing? They were so excited to snitch. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, imagine them walking up to the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up. The snitches thought they were going to get one thing, but little did they know. Things were about to change. You know, the world that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got snatched and put into was constantly trying to change them. They got taken, stolen, and it constantly was trying to change them. You know, that wasn't even their names. Remember I said their names got changed? Shadrach's name was actually Hananiah, which means Jehovah is gracious. But his name got changed to Shadrach, which means a coup, the moon god. The first time that I remember this message being preached a few years ago at North Braddock, my friend Sean was preaching. And we had so much fun with this message because when that part of this message was preached, that Shadrach's name was changed to a coup, the moon god, you heard a man from the back say, oh no, not the moon god. We listened to that recording for months. We made a song. Meshach's name is Michelle, who belongs to God. And then again, nope, we want you to belong to the moon god now. Azariah, Jehovah helps. Nope, it's Abednego now, servant of Nebu. The world is constantly trying to change you, trying to steal who God created you to be. You want to know what my name means? My name's Nicholas. I was born the day after Christmas. It means victory of the people, victor. Victory. You know what the enemy's trying to steal from me? Victory. Trying to get me to lose. He ain't gonna win. Listen, and you know why I know that? Because I'm not fighting for victory. I'm fighting from a place of victory. God's already won. He's undefeated. We're a part of his team. Can't lose, won't lose. All he does is win. What's your name mean? Biblically, what's it mean? I will bet you that the enemy's trying to rob you of that. Just as they did for Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Let's keep going. But understand that these three men stood firm to peer pressure. They stood firm to their biblical convictions. They stood firm in worship. 13 and 14 in Daniel. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage. Dude got angry and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship my gold statue that I have set up?" He looked at them, said, "Listen, guys, I'll give you one more chance to bow down. I'll give you one more shot to worship the statue that I've built when you hear the sound of the musical instruments." I'm so happy he didn't go through the whole list of them again. Where he didn't bring the snitches in again to list out all the instruments. "But if you refused, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power?" How many times in your life have you done the right thing, but then you were tempted with that one more opportunity to do wrong? Or to go the other way? Everything was right. Everything's going good. You're walking straight. You're going good. And then, hey, I'll give you one more opportunity to stumble, to fall, to bow down to that idol that's in your life. Nebuchadnezzar knew how valuable and wise these young men were. He knew that he couldn't let them defy him. But here we go. One of the most gangster responses in the Bible. Verses 16, 17, and 18. All you have to do is fall in love with reading your Bible. You have to just open it up and fall in love with reading it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He'll rescue us from your power, your majesty. Listen up. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up. Never. Never." They made that decision on the front end. Let's think back all the way to the beginning of our story. When all the trumpets, the lairs, the zithers, the horns, and all the other instruments the snitches mentioned were playing, tens of thousands of people were bowing down. Clay, you're pretty tall. Come on up here. Sam, you're pretty tall. Come on up. Let's get a tall person from over here. Christian, come on up. Stand right here. You can turn your back to him. You're just standing right next to him, shoulder to shoulder. All the horns are playing. These three stick out like a sore thumb. They're not sitting. They're not sitting at all. You have to imagine maybe that they think like, well, don't be suspicious, don't be suspicious. No. Because they wanted to be noticed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wanted everybody to know that we will not bow down. They're strong, wise, powerful young men, and they wanted Nebuchadnezzar and all of his people to know they're not going to bow. I guarantee, though, they said, "You don't do it." They needed to encourage each other. Go ahead and sit down, Shadrach. Meshach, you can go. You're staying, Abednego. You're going to hang for a minute. There were other young Jews in the crowd. There were other young, powerful, wise young men in the crowd. They bowed down. Maybe it was because they didn't have a Shadrach and a Meshach next to them. Maybe they were alone. What if Abednego was alone? Maybe he would have bowed down if he didn't have his boys standing next to him. I don't know. This is a what if. Maybe if he didn't bow down, maybe if he didn't have Meshach and Shadrach standing next to him when he was getting ready to be thrown into the furnace, when he got one more chance, maybe he would have bowed down. But they didn't. You can go have a seat. Thank you, Abednego. You did great. Shadrach, Meshach, you guys did great too. Got you. They stood firm still. There was no whining. There was no complaining. They said, "Listen up, Nebuchadnezzar. We're not doing it." Our memory verse. We're not going to read it together again. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, because I think there's something powerful when you just have the Word of God read over you. Father God, I speak this verse over every person that can hear my voice, whether it be in person or online. God, I speak Daniel 3, verse 17. Even if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, may we understand the God who we serve is able to save us. God, I thank you that no matter what's going on around us, God, if we stand firm in our faith, we stand firm. No matter what's going on, you will save us. God, may we know our response on the front end. In Jesus' name. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His face had become distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. You see this in verse 19. 7 times hotter than usual. Talk about a meanie head. Or, I'm sorry, a hothead. Heat that up 7 times hotter, guys. Then he ordered some of the strongest men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up, threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and their other garments. Verse 22, and because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. Whoopsies. I can only imagine King Nebuchadnezzar's face at this point. The Word of God says that God will work all for good for those who love him. Clearly, Nebuchadnezzar didn't love him. because that didn't turn out in his favor or the favor of the soldiers. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. The temperature of the furnaces became a symbol of Nebuchadnezzar's rage. Church, let's remember that we can stand firm in who we are in Christ. We can stand firm in the trials of fire. And we can stand firm knowing and expecting the greater reward. The worship team can start coming up. We're going to begin to land the plane. Verse 24. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement. And exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up the three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see four men unbound walking around in the fire, unharmed. And the fourth looks like a god." Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire, and then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not even scorched. This is God just showing off at this point. You ready? They didn't even smell like smoke. I have hoodies in my closet that still smell like a bonfire, no matter how hard I try. My sister-in-law, Maria, has hoodies that she purposefully wears because she loves the smell of bonfires. You know how hard it is to get the smell of fires out of clothing? God was just showing off. Not only will these men not be burned, not be harmed, not one hair be singed, but they're not even going to be touched by this fire at all. I think it's time for a snack. What do you guys think? You guys did really good. Who really loves a s'more? Anybody not get a s'more? If you didn't get one, just put your hand up. The ushers will give you one. Who, like, really loves s'mores? Come on, Ace. Come here, Ace. You're... Get your stuff ready. You get your cookie and graham cracker. Right? Do you like it really burnt?
I don't, but I'll take it. That's a
light. Here we go. Nothing we can do here. This is, I can't protect it from getting burned. You know why? I'm not God. If it lights up, you be prepared to blow it out, because I'm not blowing it out. You have to. It's yours. I don't know what this is going to taste like.
It's going to be so good. Lighter fluid.
Yeah. You don't have to eat this.
I don't eat it.
Okay.
I think that's a bad idea.
I don't know. It's just butane. Do it.
One more?
little more? Are you ready?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
There you go, Ace. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. There you go.
All right.
You can leave all the garbage up here. It's okay. Church, I want all this to help to remind you. Make a lasting memory for church in your mind. That fire's going to come, but integrity needs to be seen throughout. And God will show up. And victory will always be the result. Integrity is living for the audience of one, church. Fear of God is all about loving what God loves and hating what God hates. Understanding that one day you're going to stand before God and give an account. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make this decree, if any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego, they will be torn limb to limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this. I want this to sink in. This is probably the closest that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ever got to hell. And this is probably the closest that Nebuchadnezzar ever got to heaven. Unfortunately, we know that Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged God, but he didn't follow it. He acknowledged the faith of these three young men, but he never turned his life over to God like they did. And unfortunately, too many of us do the exact same thing. We totally acknowledge God and his good deeds and who he is. We'll even praise him and worship him. But we don't surrender our lives to him. We don't fully give everything to the King of Heaven through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I don't want any of us or anyone that I know and I have the relationship with to be like Nebuchadnezzar and be an acknowledger of God. And you could be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and be a follower. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to have a moment with each and every person in here, and I want you to have a moment with God. If you don't have a day, a moment, a place, a time where you know that you've accepted God as the forgiver of your past and leader into your future, where you fully accepted who Jesus Christ is and what he did on the cross for you, I want today to be your day. July 17th, 2022. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and slip it up to heaven and say, God, here I am. I want to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you are God. No. I'm going to ask you to do what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I'm going to ask you to stand for something. If you have never had a moment where you fully accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to stand to your feet. Or maybe you've had a moment, you've ran away from it, and you need to rededicate your life to Him. I want you to stand to your feet. There's going to be individuals that are going to come and stand with you and pray with you and encourage you and equip you and empower you and help you to see that you weren't meant to walk alone. Anyone at all today? I see that. Amen. Anyone else want to stand today? Maybe for the first time or to rededicate your life today. Amen. Don't let this moment pass. We're not promised tomorrow. Amen. 10 more seconds. I'm going to pray us out. Father God, I thank you so much for your word in Ephesians 6. If you're standing, somebody's going to come and just pray with you, encourage you. Lord, I thank you that your word says to be strong in the Lord in all of your mighty ways, that we can put on all of your armor so that we'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Lord, I thank you that we're called to fight not against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. God, against mighty powers in the dark world. God, I thank you that we're called to put on every piece of your armor and that we're able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And God, that we are able to stand firm in this battle because of you. In Jesus' name, we praise you, we worship you, we celebrate who you are and who we are because of you. Amen. Rob's going to wrap us up.
Amen.